ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 9, Text 27. Yad karoshi yad ashnasi, yaj juhoshi dadasi yat, yat tapasyasi kaunteya, tat kurushva madarpanam. Translation, Lord Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, and whatever austerities you perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering to me. Purport. Thus it is the duty of everyone to mold his life in such a way that he will not forget Krishna in any circumstance. Everyone has to work for maintenance of his body and soul together, and Krishna recommends herein that one should work for him. Everyone has to eat something to live, therefore he should accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Any civilized man has to perform some religious ritualistic ceremonies, therefore Krishna recommends, do it for me, and this is called archan. Everyone has a tendency to give something in charity. Krishna says, give it to me. And this means that all surplus money accumulated should be utilized in furthering the Krishna consciousness movement. Nowadays, people are very much inclined to the meditational process, which is not practical in this age. But if anyone practices meditating on Krishna 24 hours a day by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra around his beads, he is surely the greatest meditator and the greatest yogi, as substantiated by the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna summarizes his instructions to Arjuna by saying, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mang namaskuru mame vaishasi satyang te pratijane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me. In this way you will surely come to me. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. In the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada writes, as he writes here also, that everyone should mold their life in such a way that they cannot but think of Krishna all the time, 24 hours a day. So one should remember Krishna, not simply remember, but act for him. We have to act. We have to do something. But Krishna says, do it for me. Now, this is opposite to the way of thinking of everyone in the world. Everyone does it for me. What's in it for me? That's a saying we often hear in the Western countries. That, well, what do I get out of it? If you're asking me to do something, what's the benefit for me? You'll see that they're offering their offering jobs, and they'll say this benefit, that benefit, and you have to see, is it worth me working for this company? What benefit do I get? We don't join a company thinking how I will benefit the company, but you think how the company will benefit me, and then you're expected, as a matter of responsibility, because they're giving you money and pension scheme and this benefit and that benefit, then you're expected to work for the benefit of the company. It's a mutual agreement. No one states it out directly, but the company is trying to get as much out of you as they can and give you as little as possible. Although they won't state that. They say, we're looking after our employees. And the employee is trying to get as much as he can out of the company for doing as little as possible. So that's how everyone's actually thinking. Although you don't speak like that. You have to pretend that, yes, we love the company. And the company directors think, yes, we're very concerned with our workers. although they don't intrinsic. If you leave the company, then they don't care at all. So they don't care for you. But they care for you. They want to look after you so that you can feel satisfied and then give your full mind, body, word, soul, everything to the company. So Krishna consciousness, always thinking of Krishna and acting for him, is not exactly like this. This is the mistake of what we call mundane religion. If you read Prabhupada's books, you'll hear this term, mundane religion. And what does that mean, mundane religion? Because religion means spiritual, isn't it? Religion means it's spiritual. But Shastra points out, and Prabhupada often pointed out, that actually most of what goes on in the name of religion is not spiritual. We often hear this term, spiritualism. Are you interested in spiritualism? But it's a vague term, not very much defined. It's just, what is spiritualism? Well, you have this bearded fellow who talks about the what is that, the art of something or other from Bangalore? I don't want to hear it. It's horrible. Anyway, that's supposed to be spiritualism. And then you have another guy who is, you know, he's a fading away incarnation of God. He's more popular among the Andhra people, but has his own so-called Vrindavan near to here. So they also call that spiritualism. But we would call that, according to the Shastric analysis, that is mundane religion. And even the great religions of the world, they're all mundane inasmuch as people approach, or they take to a religion thinking, what will I get from it? What can God do for me? Or what can this God-man do for me? But love of God means that we have full attachment to Him, full faith in Him. That we're not thinking, we're not calculating what He will do for me. We have full faith that that my only benefit is to be completely surrendered to Him. And I don't have to think about what He will do for me, because surely He's not such an ungrateful person that if I give myself to Him, He will mistreat me. And another consideration is that if we're talking about spiritualism, then first of all, we should know what spirit means. People say spiritualism, but what is spirit? This is defined in Bhagavad Gita, in Lord Krishna's first teachings. He differentiates between the body and the spirit. The body is temporary. The Atma is eternal. So if we think that that God will bless me so I can have better health, better job, all facilities, this is God's blessings, that's also not spiritual, because it's in terms of the body. Or even if we think, I will go to heaven, to the kingdom of God, and I will be very happy there, that's, we're still thinking in terms of I, me, and mine. But real love and real surrender means to think that what does He want me to do? So what is being offered, what Lord Krishna is saying here, is an intermediate stage, or it can be understood as an intermediate stage. That anyway we're in this world and we're acting for what we think is our self-interest. Everything that everyone does, they do for what they think will be for their own benefit, isn't it? You see, anyone at any time, any place, any circumstance, what they're doing is for their own benefit. That they're walking on the street. Why? Because they have to go to the bazaar to buy some vegetables. So for their family and themselves. The family means their extended sense gratification. Because we identify with the family, we think that my family's benefit is my benefit. Or they have some imagined benefit that they identify. Now the cricket is going on. It's always going on, isn't it? There's more or less some international cricket games are going on. So because we identify with India and because we think that cricket is very important, we think that India should win the game. So we identify with this and we think if India wins, it's good. And if India doesn't win, it's bad. So we praise someone, very good batsman, got a double century. So very good, we praise, because we identify that it is something which is benefit. I am an Indian, and if India wins the cricket match, that is good. So this person is very good because he got a double century for India. So in this way, we imagine what is beneficial, because actually there's no real benefit to anyone, whether you know the ball goes this way or that way, and we make some rules that we invent some rules of a game that if the ball goes here, then it's called bowled out, and if it goes here, it's called a six. But it's only an imagination. We made some rules which have no real meaning, and therefore we cheer someone who hits a six, although actually it's just a piece of wood hitting a ball, and we think it's something, we identify, this is very good. He did something very good. So, in this way, everything we do is for our own benefit. And if someone acts for the benefit of others, they are praised, sometimes, not always. Sometimes there are people who act for the benefit of others and that's not recognized. But we get just like some mother in Calcutta who opens homes for dying people, and they go and look on the streets for dying people. They're all their life living on the street, and when they look that they're going to die soon, and then they take them to die comfortably in her home. So this is called welfare work. And people praise, this is very good, you're helping people. Or a hero, someone who risks his life to save others. So this is considered something very wonderful. Although actually, if we understand what is spirit, spirit means the Atma, so taking the body from the street into a home to die in the home, it doesn't actually benefit us because we have to get born again. And if you save someone's body from death, well, all right, that's good. It's not that we should be insensitive to the sufferings of others. But we should know at the same time that we cannot help people in the real sense of the term unless we help them to get free from birth and death, from the suffering of birth and death. So our real benefit, we should understand, because we are Atma, we are eternal spiritual living beings, and helping the body, it's temporary and giving spiritual knowledge, that is real benefit. So, the spiritual knowledge that we are eternal living beings, and as Lord Krishna establishes in Bhagavad Gita, we are all part and parcel of Krishna. We are eternally Krishna's servant. And we cannot be happy. We have the desire to be happy, but we cannot be happy by any other means than serving Krishna. So, this, what Lord Krishna is saying here, this is an intermediary, can be taken as an intermediate stage, that everyone in this world is working for their own benefit under the illusion that our benefit is that which is beneficial for our body, or we have an illusory idea that after we leave this body, we will go to a heaven where we will enjoy. That's also That's also not spiritual because it's based on misinformation. The spiritual world is based on Krishna's enjoyment, and the liberated souls in the spiritual world, they are happy there because they're acting fully for the satisfaction of Krishna. That's the key to happiness. But if we think we will go to the spiritual world or we'll go to heaven and God will provide our enjoyment there, then we've misunderstood. That's why we say that religion is mundane. If they don't have the understanding that we are meant to act for the satisfaction of God, not that we worship Him and it's like a kind of business arrangement, like in a company. You work for the company and they do some benefit. You work for them and they look after you. So you serve God and He looks after you. But it's a mundane understanding. It's actually putting myself in the center. That what will God do for me? Let me try this religion, that religion. Someone told me that, you know, I worshipped Krishna for some time, but I didn't find it was very good. So I went to Shirdi, and everything was okay. Shirdi Sai Baba. So that's the real, for me, that's God. Another misunderstanding, for me. For you, God might be like this, but for me, God is, no, but He is as He is, not according to what we think. I believe, I believe in God, okay. I'm not sure if I will do tomorrow, and if I don't, He won't exist. Because I'm the center, and His existence depends on me. If I believe in Him, then by my grace He will exist. And if I don't, then, because I must be right, so if I don't believe in Him, then He does. And if you want to believe in God, you can, and for you there's God, and for me there's no God. All rubbish ideas. It's not that. His existence or non-existence depends on our belief. Even this thing, which is definitely not God, although someone might tell you that this is God, you never know. But even the existence of this steel dhaba for drinking water, its existence does not depend on my belief. I don't believe it exists. Does that mean it doesn't exist? Or I am now holding up a mirror, right? No? Well, I believe it, so it must exist. You don't see it, but I see it, and I believe it. Well, there are some philosophers who posit such ideas, but it's foolish. That which is. That which isn't, isn't. So we can... God... His existence or non... Actually, there's no question of His non-existence. So, we depend on Him, He doesn't depend on us. So, spiritualism, what people call spiritualism is a vague... It's not really a well-defined term, but it's... It vaguely gives an idea of all kinds of strange things. You know, believing... There's one, like I was saying, there's one fellow with lots of hair, although I heard it was falling out. And there's another one with a big long beard around here. And there's all kinds of... People think that it's very spiritual to have a long beard. You see, have a long beard and say, Om. You see. Just shake your head very slowly like this. Very spiritual. Oh. Very spiritual. People are foolish. Spiritual means to understand what is spirit and what is matter. The body is temporary. Everything in this world is temporary. The whole universe is temporary. You have to remember that. The oceans are sweet water and salt water and milk and all this. That's all temporary. But we are eternal spirit soul, and Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, supreme spirit soul. Paramatma, Bhagavan, Purusham Paramam Divyam, the supreme personality of Godhead. So real spiritualism means to understand Him and to stop acting for what we think is in our benefit. We think it is my benefit to get lots of money, and it's in my benefit to go to the gym and become very healthy so that I can feel healthy and then I can enjoy life and then get very strong and all the girls will look at me and go to the beauty parlor and get plastic surgery and get all the bumps and get your face looking very nice. And this is all for my benefit. But when we stop thinking of my benefit and understand that my real benefit is to serve Krishna because I am part and parcel of Krishna, that is actual spiritual life. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi Vishnu. We don't know that we are bewildered because we don't know that our real swart, that is which is in our real self-interest, is to serve Vishnu. So a beginning is that anyway we're eating, so don't just eat. Offer to Krishna. Take prasadam. Anyway we're working to maintain our families, but put Krishna in the center. Don't just eat, work, sleep, have social life. You can do all these things. But offer everything to Krishna. Shri Krishnaya arpanamastu. Let everything be offered to Krishna. So that's a beginning step. Actually, the more advanced level is, instead of doing what we're doing and offering it to Krishna, we should think, what does Krishna want us to do? You see the difference? That anyway, I'm doing what I want to do, but I'll do it as an offering to Krishna. But that, of course, means some restrictions, because we can't bring meat and say, Shri Krishnaya arpanamastu. Let it be offered to Krishna. That, the verse before this, Lord Krishna says, Patrang pushpang palang toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti upahritam ashnami prayatapana. If one offers me with love and devotion a fruit, leaf, flower or water, I will accept it, Krishna says. So Krishna can eat anything, but he's a vegetarian. So devotees of Krishna are vegetarians because they only take that which is offered to Krishna, and Krishna is a vegetarian. So if we start to think, well, I have to offer everything to Krishna, then we have to, that makes some boundaries. We can't perform impious activities and offer that to Krishna. But then even better than offering pious activities to Krishna is to think, what does he want me to do? Not just think what he wants us to do, but we can learn from Shastra how to act in a way that Krishna will be satisfied. There's a difference. Just like you might think, well, I like to eat this kind of food, so I'll cook it and offer it to Krishna and take it. Well, that's better than just cooking the food and eating it. But if we think, what does Krishna like to eat, and offer that to him and take the remnants, that is a better level. So this is described as Krishnarte Akhila Cheshta. Bhakti, what is the meaning? We've heard this term bhakti. But bhakti is practically expressed as doing everything for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. Often we think bhakti, yes, that's singing, dancing, and doing archan, and we do bhakti, so that's nice. So I'm a bhakta, and we do bhakti. And then, you know, we have the other side also. Indian people are very expert at this. When they do bhakti, they do very good bhakti. And when they want to enjoy life with sense gratification in various ways, they're very good also. You'll find they come to the temple very nice with the vesti and nice tilak. And then in the evening, their wife, a nice sari, everything. In the evening, the wife will be in, you know, tight jeans and t-shirt, and they'll be going to the movies. So the same people, but, you know, there's a time for bhakti and there's a time for going to the movies. You see, so Whatever you do,
bhakti.
Time for bhakti. Yeah. So you know, whatever you do, you should do it fully. But bhakti, real bhakti, means do everything fully for Krishna, full time, all the time. Nothing for Krishna te akhila cheshta. Everything, all the time for Krishna. You think, well, that's too much. Well, you can do it for HP or Microsoft. People are willing to do it, isn't it? It's practically, they want your soul, practically. So, everything for Krishna. Real bhakti means to understand that there is nothing else to do but to satisfy Krishna. Everything else is outside of my, actually outside of my own real self-interest. People may say, oh, religion is okay, but not too much, because you know you have to enjoy life also. Religion's okay; it helps you to you know, be moral, and helps you to get peace of mind and relieve the tension. So religion's good, but not too much. You know, don't be fanatical. The real purpose of life is to enjoy yourself and be good and be a nice person, good citizen, and cheer on the Indian cricket team. And then little religion, that's good, that's very good, but not too much. But we should know that any other desire than the desire to serve Krishna is against our own real self-interest. That means we're going to have to watch that useless Indian cricket team birth after birth. We have to come back again and again. Whoops, I made a blasphemous statement there. You have to come back again and again. You may think, well, cricket's so wonderful, but you have to get inside a mother's womb and suffer inside the mother's womb. But whatever we think is desirable in this material world causes us to be born again and again. But when we fully surrender to Krishna, then we go to Krishna. That we can do so within the role of a grihastha is exemplified by Krishna speaking to Arjuna. But we shouldn't think that, well, all right, so Arjuna's a grihastha, so that's all right, but we have to see what is Arjuna's mood, that he's doing everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. He's not a materialistic enjoyer. We can be Krishna conscious in family life, fully Krishna conscious, but the attitude is not that of a materialistic enjoyer. The attitude is of one who is fully, even within household life, fully everything, fully centered on Krishna. And we have the great example of a recent acharya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was the, he set the standard for a householder devotee. He had a family and he was responsibly looking after them. And he was a magistrate in the British legal system. But at the same time, he was fully dedicated to Krishna. He did his family duties, but the focus of his life was cultivating Krishna consciousness, writing books on Krishna consciousness, and preaching Krishna consciousness. So that's the standard. That everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. What does Krishna want us to do? Krishnarte bhogatyag. This is also defined as that everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. That does that mean that we have to give up everything? But Bhakti Rupa Goswami, he says Krishnarte bhogatyag. That if for the sake of Krishna there's some what we might call enjoyable situation, we should accept it. And if for serving Krishna better we have to leave something, then we should leave it. Should we live very comfortably in this world or not? Or should we renounce the world? This is not the question. The question is, how can we serve Krishna best? We see that in the among the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of them, some among the most prominent, were the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, who were Tyaktva Turna Mashesha Mandala Pati Shreining Sada Tuchavat Bhutva Dina Ganesha Ko Karunaya Ko Pina Kantashrita. They were from very highly aristocratic backgrounds, and some of them extremely rich. But they gave it up all as insignificant, and they lived as Tyagis with just Kopin, Kamandalu, and actually it says Kopin and Kanta. Kanta, you know what that is? That means from the throat, from all the thrown out cloth, they make the some quilt for wrapping in the. From scrap cloth, they make a quilt to keep warm in the winter. That's all. Kopin and Kamandalu and Kanta. That's all they had. Gopi Bhavar Samrita Dilahari Kalola Magno Mahur. But their wealth was that they were in the ocean of Gopi Bhav, the ecstasy of the gopis' love for Krishna. They were always diving and surfacing in that ocean. So they renounced the world. And among the great associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, another was Ramananda Rai, who was the governor. He was practically almost on the same level as the king of Kalinga, the king of Orissa. And he was, on behalf of the king of Orissa, he was governing, the overseeing the southern part of his kingdom, which covered a lot of present-day Andhra Pradesh, Vijayanagar, that was at that time. So Ramananda Rai, on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's request, retired from political life and came to live with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the king of Orissa, on hearing this, said, "You keep your pay, whatever pay you had before, large amount of money, he will continue to get that." So Ramananda Rai continued to live with his family and very wealthy. And the six Goswamis, they gave up all wealth. So why is that? Because according to their particular situation, they could serve the Lord better. The six Goswamis by great renunciation, and Ramananda Rai by living like that within the society, he could serve the Lord better. Sometimes people are surprised at our sannyasis, how they're flying here and there, laptop computers. What is that? You should be very renounced. This is renunciation. If all of these things are used for the service of Krishna, then that is far better than the sannyasi who will, he'll never touch money. He will only go to one place to another by walking. That's the tradition, isn't it? You should only walk. But up this Kanchi, Chandrasekhar Indran, he used to follow that. He would only walk. But he didn't go very far. He would walk from Kanchi to Chennai, spend some time, go back. But Prabhupada, he traveled all over the world and spread Krishna consciousness. So is it what is the point of being a sannyasi? To serve Krishna. Otherwise there's no meaning to take sannyas. So if you can serve Krishna better by taking a plane, then why should you walk? That is a rule of sannyas, you should only walk. But more important rule is that you should spread Krishna consciousness. So that is renunciation, that not to be attached to anything for one's own sense gratification, but to use everything in the service of Krishna without. You may have millions of dollars, but one is not attached to that. And actually, a devotee doesn't keep, if he has millions of dollars, immediately build a temple, print books, Use it for the service of Krishna. Anasaktasya Vishayam. Yataham Upayanjataha. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. Yuktam Vairagya Muchate. That one can live in this world, not be attached to anything for one's own sake. Now I've got some money, let me enjoy myself. But rather, how to utilize everything in this world for Krishna. So, everything should be done for the sake of Krishna. How can we know what Krishna wants? Well, that's there in Shastra. Just like Krishna says, here, patrang pushpang palang toyam. We should offer him fruit, leaf, flower, water. He never says, offer me meat, onions, none of these things. These things are forbidden in Shastra. So we can understand, and the Rupa Goswami Prabhupada has compiled some basic 64 points of do's and do nots, things that we should follow and things that we should not do so that we can act in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. So for everything, for every positive injunction, there's a concomitant negative injunction. One should associate with devotees, positive injunction. One should give up the association of non-devotees. So parallel, it goes on like that. One should accept as foodstuff only Krishna prasad. And then the corresponding, one should not eat food which is cooked by non-devotees. So like this, if this is the beginning, how to enter Krishna consciousness, these rules and regulations are given to help us act in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. So that at every moment of our lives, we can act for pleasing Krishna. Even sleeping, you may think, well, how is that pleasing Krishna? Well, if we only sleep so that I can refresh the body for serving Krishna, then that's also indirectly acting for Krishna's service. Although if we think, oh, sleeping is wonderful, let me sleep more, 10 hours, 11 hours, then that is not Krishna conscious. Now, in the beginning, it may seem that, well, this is, you know, you tell no tea, no coffee, and we should, you're walking past the ice cream parlor, you're thinking, well, it's vegetarian. I could offer it to Krishna. Well, you can do, but if we think that, well, let me get all the nice foods that I like to eat. That's not really offering with love, is it? It's better, at least it's thinking that Krishna's there. But it's, the proper system is to take Krishna prasadam at specific times. Otherwise, all the time, you'll see there's advertisements for biscuits, and then you go past some, like this ice cream shop, sweet shop. So all the time the tongue is agitated. But if we make the vow to take only Krishna prasadam at regulated times, then automatically the tongue becomes regulated. And then we're not even attracted to eat anything else. So in this way, the mind becomes peaceful and fixed in serving Krishna, and we actually become very happy. We're in an illusion that we can become happy by enjoying the senses. But what actually happens is that the mind is always agitated. We don't become happy, but rather we're always thinking, let me enjoy this, enjoy that, enjoy this, enjoy that. And always the mind is thinking how I can enjoy. But we're always frustrated because the nature of material desires is that we're never happy as long as we're trying to fulfill material desires. So if we simply think that, let me do everything for the satisfaction of Krishna, let me act in a way that Krishna will be satisfied, then it may seem that, oh, it's very, very difficult and strict and austere. But actually, there's nothing very difficult about it. And if we do like that, if we follow these principles, no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and then that also includes no tea, no coffee, and then devotees, if we're actually serious to serve Krishna, then we don't watch so many nonsense things on TV. and probably more or less everything on TV is nonsense. That even, you know, the news, what will we get by watching the news? What's the benefit? So we may think, well, these things, how can we live without them? But then if we, instead of wasting our time on things which have no real value, we spend our time in hearing and chanting about Krishna, then we actually experience the satisfaction of serving Krishna. We become, our desires become purified. Our mind becomes peaceful. I'm always recommending, read these books. Read Srimad Bhagavatam. If you see the Srimad Bhagavatam, 18 volumes, it's a, well, how can I read that? Well, people read the newspaper every day. So instead of reading the newspaper, if you take the time for reading Bhagavatam, read a little bit every day, and in the time you're reading the newspaper every day for a year or 18 months or whatever, then you can go through the whole Bhagavatam and the consciousness will be purified and enriched and enlivened. Evang prasanna manaso. The mind becomes very happy by absorbing in consciousness of Krishna, by studying Bhagavatam. We learn about all the different avatars of the Lord and how the different devotees are serving Him. And it's very enlivening. Instead of going to work or to college thinking about some cricket player or politician, then we think about how Prahlad Maharaj is offering prayers to Nrisimhadev and how Ambarish Maharaj is so tolerant and he's protected by Lord Krishna. So in this way, the consciousness becomes elevated and purified. And gradually, the whole motive of living and acting in this world for our own pleasure, which doesn't bring us any satisfaction anyway, becomes changed to acting for Krishna's pleasure. And when we say this, often people think, well, this is a very high level, I can't do that. And, you know, we have to be realistic. We have so many things to do in this world. But actually, it's not difficult. The example's been shown. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did that. Our own Srila Prabhupada in household, when he was living as a grihastha for so many years, they showed how it's not at all incompatible that we can live in this world with material responsibilities and at the same time be focused on Krishna. Of course, if you want to come and live as a brahmachari and be free from material encumbrances, that's also a very good option if you're ready for that. But the point is, whatever situation we're in, we have to change our consciousness. Instead of having this very miserly attitude that let me enjoy for myself, which we can never do anyway, because we can never be happy by trying to make myself happy. But understanding that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and everything should be done for His satisfaction. So this is a beginning. Do everything for Krishna. If we are trained by devotees who know this little secret of doing everything for the satisfaction of Krishna, then gradually our whole consciousness changes, our life becomes enriched, and we can understand that there really is nothing to do in life but to serve Krishna. This is life. Otherwise, we are forced to die and be born again and again and again. Just this little thing. Just do everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. Recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the center of everything. I am His part and parcel. I am meant to serve Him. So let me do that in the manner that is ordained by Shastra and by the Acharyas in Parampara. There's nothing difficult about Krishna. It's very simple, and very straightforward, very clear, because this is ultimate reality. And everything else that we think about reality, Shrota Vyadini Rajendra Rinang Santi Sahasrashaha. People have so many subjects to discuss. I don't know what they're discussing, but it's probably not Krishna consciousness. There's so many things to discuss. But this blah, 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 that just means that we get born as a frog. Wah, wah, wah. You don't hear frogs in Bangalore, probably, because it's an urban area. But if you go in the rainy season, in the village area, all the frogs are having a big discussion. Very loud. They like to talk on and on. They'll go on all night, making a big noise. And the result is the snakes here. Oh, here's my food. The big noise, they're calling, practically they're calling out to the snake, I'm here, come and eat me. So in this way we're eaten by the snake of repeated birth and death, because we have so many topics to discuss, but the real topic we have to discuss is Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. Simple little secret. But people have so many objections. No, I don't believe in Krishna. What's the proof there's any Krishna? Krishna's also a liar, and I belong to another religion. Or no, I don't have time for that. I don't believe in spirituality. So many objections. People have... Yeah, okay, yes, Krishna's okay, but not too much. Or, why only Krishna, so many gods? So just try to understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. Everything becomes clear. Someone came to me at midday today and said that, well, I'm not sure. I've been with ISKCON for 3 years. I used to be with the Ramakrishna Ashram. So I'm not sure which one is right. If you read Bhagavad Gita as it is, there's no question. Everything becomes clear. 3 years and he hasn't even finished reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. So we should, from Shastra, these books, these are given by Krishna. Bhagavad Gita as it is the basic, essential book that everyone who wants to understand the Supreme Truth must read. So if we just understand this, everything becomes very clear. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. We are His servants. We have to serve Him. So, please read these books repeatedly, carefully, and understand everything very clearly. Spiritualism is not vague. People like to think it's vague. You can believe whatever you like. But Krishna doesn't say that. Krishna says we should accept what is the reality? What is the truth? What is the truth? That Krishna is the Supreme Lord. We are meant to serve Him. Because we are envious of Krishna, therefore we, in the name of spiritualism, we invent so many processes. But the actual process is to accept Krishna's supremacy and surrender to Him by the process of bhakti yoga, which means all actions, everything we eat, everything we do, everything we say, everything should be for the satisfaction of Krishna. How to do that? It's not very difficult. We require a little training. Then we can learn how to act for the satisfaction of Krishna. So this, just this little point, and our life will be successful in all respects. There will be no more birth and death. We'll go to Krishna. We'll be eternally happy in the shelter of His lotus feet, serving Him in the spiritual world. Otherwise, punarapi jananam. Just see, baby is crying, and the old man is dying and crying, and in between we're struggling so much. Better to go to Krishna. Any question about this?
Guru Maharaj, this is other reference. We are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra relentlessly. Relentlessly, it means that we are doing it continuously. I'm doing this 16 hours.
Yeah.
But we are committing a lot of apadats.
Why?
There are.
Why? Stop. Don't make offenses.
Apadats are there.
No, we shouldn't make offenses.
offenses are made, then how to overcome?
You just don't do them. Then you won't have to think how to overcome them. Actually, if we see the 10 offenses against the holy name, they're mostly based on philosophical misconceptions. It means chanting with a misunderstanding, and from the misunderstanding comes a wrong attitude. Just like if we think that all the gods are the same and Krishna is just one of the gods, that becomes an offense, because instead of recognizing Krishna's supremacy, we think it's all the same. It's actually an offense. Just like if the president is there, the president of the country is there with his security staff, and we bring a garland and we put it on the security, on the bodyguard, you say, well, actually, that's the president. We say, well, it's all the same. Wherever the president goes, the security, the bodyguard goes. So, you know, he's actually stronger than the president. So he's better. Why the president should always get the garlands? Why not someone else? Why only the president? Why? Because he's the president. You read the, it's not something to be asked. It's not something to make a case out of. He is the president. That is his position. His position should be respected. If we protest that, we become a criminal. Actually. So, like that, most of these 10 offenses, they're based on philosophical misunderstanding. So, just like to think that chanting Hare Krishna and performing punya karma, it's all, chanting Hare Krishna is another kind of punya karma. Just like in Bengal in the villages, when the monsoon comes late, they're running, there's no water, they're suffering in the heat, no water. So somehow or other they get some water, and whatever little water they have, they do a Harinam party around the village, and they throw water on the people doing it. And that's supposed to bring rain. So if we think, well, chanting Hare Krishna is something which brings rain, it's true, but it's not that we should perform the chanting of the holy names simply for material results. So it's all based on philosophical misunderstandings, which leads to offensive attitude. So we should seriously strive to overcome these offenses. We can overcome offenses if our consciousness is fixed. Krishnarthe akhila cheshta. We have to do everything for the satisfaction of Krishna. I am meant for Krishna's satisfaction. That's why, along with chanting, we have to hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and we have to study the books of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, so many people are chanting, so many Mayavadis are chanting the names of the Lord. The smartas, they also chant Vishnu Sahasranam. But what for? Because they think chanting Vishnu Nam is very good, we get free from sinful reaction. But the idea of their understanding of bhakti, if we follow the smarta idea of bhakti, then in millions of lifetimes we'll never get actual bhakti. We'll actually move further away from what is actual bhakti. So everything has to be understood very clearly. Hearing is essential. Anything else? Yes, please.
What are the benefits I will be getting by chanting Hare Krishna?
What are the benefits I will get? Yes, everything we do, what are the benefits? Go for a job interview. What are the benefits? The benefit is that we will develop pure love of Krishna, which is the only auspicious situation for the jiva. And as a byproduct, we will get free from birth and death, repeated birth and death, which is a situation of complete suffering. Now, if we say this, you may not be able to understand what is the benefit. Most people can't even understand that is beneficial. They get love of Krishna. What do I need that for? I'd rather love a film star. Why Krishna? Krishna, what's that? So, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that out of millions of persons, very few can understand me because it requires purification of consciousness, it requires a high level of consciousness to understand what is the benefit of Krishna consciousness. Just like in the prison, people, you would tell the prisoners, act well, and then you can get free from, you can, then you don't have to go to prison. And you think, well, why not? What's wrong with prison? All my friends are in prison. So, what's wrong with going to prison? But when we understand this is a miserable situation, I belong to Krishna. I don't belong in this material world. So often in the beginning we say, chant Hare Krishna, you'll feel happy. We tell like this. Actually, it's true, but when we come to a higher level of understanding, we should understand that, yes, we will feel happy by our endeavor to act in a way that Krishna will be pleased, then our happiness will come automatically. So we're not going to say that by chanting Hare Krishna, you will get a better job situation, you will concentrate better on your studies. So many people ask us about this. We're not saying that. We're not promising that there'll be any material benefit whatsoever. If Krishna wants, he may give. If not, not. It's up to him. So we don't expect everyone to appreciate this because most people are foolishly interested in what they consider to be their benefit, understood in terms of their temporary body, that if this body can become more healthy, more strong, if this body can be decorated with the title software engineer or CEO, then this is very good. But people don't understand that this is very temporary. This life is very short and it's of no actual benefit anyway. Who is happy? Is Bill Gates happy? He has billions of dollars. Can you measure his happiness by his money? He's got literally millions of times more money than the average person in America. Does that mean he's millions of times more happy? Not at all. So we can begin to understand the benefit of Krishna consciousness when we begin to understand that nothing in this material world is of any ultimate benefit to us whatsoever. Does Krishna desire the jiva to go to him? Yes, certainly it does. That's why he comes to speak Bhagavad Gita.
But he chooses any jiva to go back to. Does he choose this jiva?
Does he choose? Well, he wants every jiva to come to him, but he speaks Bhagavad Gita and then he sends his representatives to preach that in the world, and it's up to every individual jiva has the choice to accept those teachings and go to Krishna or not. And if we try to come to Krishna, Krishna helps us. So he certainly wants us to go, but at the same time he doesn't force us to go. He wants us to go. If we try to go, he'll help us. He gives us all opportunities to understand what is our actual benefit by going there, but he doesn't force us to.
Only few people get the opportunity to hear about Krishna.
Only few people get the opportunity to hear about Krishna. Generally so, yes. Generally so. At all stages of human society, there is the scheme of Krishna to elevate people to that level of where they can come to Krishna consciousness. There's the Varnashram system, and there are various religious paths which help people to become gradually qualified to hear about Krishna, because most people are not ready to hear about that, just like you were asking about the benefit. What is the benefit of Krishna consciousness? It requires someone who's already quite well spiritually developed to want to appreciate what is the benefit. If we say the benefit, people might think, well, what is the benefit? They don't appreciate that that's the benefit. So Krishna is acting within human society and helping to elevate people from the various levels they're at. And especially at the present time, during the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is unprecedented opportunity for people to hear about Krishna. Still, more preaching is needed.
Does it mean people are chosen by...
People are chosen by Krishna.
Because certain people receive the mercy.
Well, the mercy is there for everyone, but it's up to us whether we accept it or not. And again, it may be that someone, because they performed some activities which are connected with bhakti in a previous life, so they get the opportunity in this life to take to bhakti like that. It's not that God favors some jivas over another, but certain jivas are at different levels of development. It's not that everyone's on the same level. That's why some people become attracted to Krishna consciousness and take it up, and others don't. But whatever anyone does in relationship to Krishna is for their eternal benefit.
Actually, in this present materialistic world, it never
was non-materialistic, but at the present time, certainly people are... The fever is going very high. The fever of materialism.
In this world, we have to live livelihood. Because we have to... Since the body is given to us by Lord Krishna, so we have to serve, we have to live, and we have to eat to at least to maintain this body. So if everybody being Krishna conscious by living their family life.
What are you saying? Living Krishna consciousness, leaving their family life or living their
family?
Leaving. But I didn't... what makes you think that we're preaching that everyone should leave their family life?
No.
Did actually, we say that?
No, actually, Maharaj. Because children nowadays, youngsters and different children, they understood this concept about the Krishna consciousness, and they used to think living, they become sannyas or they become brahmachari.
If some come, that's very good, because preachers of Krishna consciousness are needed.
And finally, after some time, they come to know that it is very difficult, because doing sadhana at the Krishna conscious level,
it's difficult if one is not prepared for that. Otherwise, there's no difficulty.
And they become grossas.
See, after some time, what is the question actually?
No, actually, Maharaj, many people, they are doing Krishna conscious, the children, that is young children, and they want to, after some time, they want to become grossasha. Because one part is completely surrendered to Krishna and serving Krishna, and it is...
So you're talking about young people who become brahmacharis and later want to become grihasthas, is it? Yeah.
Then, in the grihasthas also, they can able to attain the Krishna consciousness. And this.
Yes, one can be Krishna conscious in grihastha life also. As I stated in the class.
How it has to be
obtained? Sorry?
How it has to be synchronized this modern world? Modern, it's so many obstacles are there.
Question is how to adjust and live in this material world, and also
what's that got to do with the brahmachari who became a grihastha? How to live in this material world? The material world is always full of difficulties, but we have to chant Hare Krishna.
That is it.
Yeah.
Because when doing chants out of 16 rounds, chanting 16 rounds.
So please chant. That's right.
So Shri Maharaj is not foreseeing the things in Grahastha's
world. I'm not sure. If you can understand his question. Anyway, the answer is chant Hare Krishna. Whatever the question is. Shall we chant now this Damodarashtakam?
Yeah.
You can chant that now.
How do you know that you are not going to get rebirth again? Is there any message? Or how do you know?
This is the message. It's up to Krishna. We have to serve Krishna and then we are in his hands. But he himself says, Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyaji mangnuaskuru mame vaishasi satyante pratijane priyosime. That if you cultivate this, always thinking of me, becoming my devotee, worshipping me, bowing down to me, then he says, I will bring you to me. It's my promise. So how do we know? We have faith in Krishna.